And in other news, several hundred students rallied on the campus of Tufts University Monday afternoon in response to a bisexual woman being prohibited from taking a leadership position in the school's Christian organization. Scott Goering was there, and he files this report.
We meet here today in exile. I lost my home to homophobia, you lost yours to racism, and you to sexism. Together, we have one message for those who tell us we are not good enough. You do not scare me. Bigotry, you do not scare me. Hate, you do not scare me.
Students and faculty members from Tufts University and several other Boston area colleges gathered on the campus of Tufts on Monday to express their concerns about the school's non-discrimination policy as it relates to the university's gay and lesbian community. Protests stemmed from a Catholic organization's decision to prohibit a bisexual female student from serving on the group's leadership committee. After the student judiciary decided that the action was justified, since they believed there was a distinction between one's identity and one's beliefs about one's identity, students across the campus began to speak out about their disagreements with the decision, culminating in Monday's protests.
Our non-discrimination policy is no longer effective. It is being violated, nullified, it is no longer even present on this campus. We're all here because we care. We're all here because we are concerned, and we want things to change. What is the point of having a non-discrimination policy that does not work?
There are thousands of copies of a letter going to the president this afternoon, and we're going to march. Who wants to march?
Yeah!
Into the streets, out of the classes and into the streets.
What happened was there's a girl who was in one of the leadership positions in the Christian Fellowship. She came out as a lesbian on Coming Out Day, which would normally be a safe thing to do and a pretty common thing to do on our campus. We're normally pretty open about these things. But when they found out, when the Christian Fellowship found out that she was a lesbian, they kicked her out of her position. There was a hearing, as far as I know, in the Senate, and the Christian Fellowship, because they're a nationwide organization, hired some Harvard lawyer to come in and basically fool the Senate into making some ridiculous decision about the anti-discrimination policy, and now it's basically it is allowed to kick somebody out of your organization just basically because they're a woman or a minority.
The bottom line is that if you are an organization and you propose, like, you have a belief that gays are not equal to regular people, then you can kick them out because we can't discriminate against your belief that they're unequal. But coupled with the 11 hate crimes we've had on campus this semester alone, it's really, really upsetting that they're allowing this to happen.
Make us safe! Make us safe! Make us safe!
The march finally reached the president's office, where several students entered with a stack of petitions.
Can I ask where you're going right now?
We're going to the president's office.
To do what?
To deliver over 1,000.
The students. We're delivering a mandate from the students.
And
people believe that we are right and that we need a new non-discrimination policy.
And we're in the president's office right now?
The president?
Yes, we are.
Desk, please.
Pardon?
President's desk, please.
This one right now, but do you want to leave something for me?
Because I've signed here over
Approximately
1,500 to 2,000 petitions in support of the non-discrimination policy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll take those. Absolutely. Put them right here. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Meanwhile, hundreds of students outside had joined hands and formed a giant ring around the president's office building, all the while loudly chanting their support. Standing nearby were members of the Student Judiciary Committee, who had caused the uproar in the first place by ruling that there was a distinction between one's sexual identity and one's beliefs about one's sexual identity. While saying that they sympathized with the protesters, they staunchly defended their ruling.
I mean, as a whole, we're in favor of the discussion that's going to be going on about this. We want to just sit down, and as a J, we want to sit down and talk about what we believe non-discrimination policy needs to be changed. We have some very specific points that we've sat down and rationally thought about, which this group has very strong opinions, but there's in some ways missing what our ruling said about it. They have a fact sheet out that they're having people sign. It's saying here that a woman who believes that she is equal to a man cannot be excluded from any TCU recognized group who believes that she is not equal to on the basis of that belief. That's not true. If you can believe anything and be in any group the way the policy is stated now, because if you pay the student activities fee, you're allowed in. The problem is with the leadership positions, and we're working to change that. We believe that the non-discrimination policy needs to be upheld. We believe that to make it stronger, it needs to be tweaked. And so we're in support of this, but just to redirect it a little.
The question is whether they discriminate against sexual orientation or did not discriminate against sexual orientation. And we found quite clearly that they did not discriminate against sexual orientation, as she was a leader for 2 years before they decided not to appoint her. Her sexual orientation was the same every single year. The only thing that had changed were her beliefs
about her identity, which whether that's morally right is a whole other question. But she was openly homosexual. She was debating her ideas, and when they made the vote, they knew that.
You must be allowed to discriminate against beliefs. Otherwise, when you're deciding between the appointment of two people, what are you going to base it on?
Obviously, you have to discriminate on something, or like singing groups, you have to let everyone in, and you have to discriminate on something, but the question now is whether the administration wants to define certain things that you cannot discriminate against in terms of beliefs.
Which is a private institution we're able to do.
But several faculty members who had turned out to show their support for the students disagreed. Among them was English professor Jonathan Strong.
The difference between orientation and self-acceptance is non-existent. It is the one and the same thing. And somehow the students understand that. And they made a ridiculous hair-splitting decision based on what they call a gray area. There is no gray area. Sexual orientation means self-acceptance. We've learned that over a long, hard fight. And it may be new to some people, and they can keep arguing if they want, but this university, in its policy, has, in fact, stated that sexual orientation belongs in the same list with all the other categories of gender, race, ethnicity, and we just have to make sure that the rest of the school understands that these are non-negotiable categories, and sexual orientation is the same thing as self-acceptance. Belief is a separate issue. People can believe whatever they want, but they can't do whatever they want.
Faculty member Howard Solomon concurred that the issue is being clouded in undue confusion.
Let us be clear that there would be no ambiguity, there would be no lack of clarity if this were not about sexual identity, sexual orientation. People get confused about these issues where they don't get confused about issues of ethnicity, race, physical ability, and so on. So let's be clear about that. That is an issue that we need to be absolutely clear with everyone, that there is no ambiguity here if people understand what the issue is. Part of the way that homophobia works is enabling us to get real confused when we talk about issues of sexual orientation and sexual identity. And when we feel that confusion coming, including those of us who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, that's the internalized homophobia working on us. So let's be clear about the lack of clarity. When people say, I don't get it, it's too confusing, take a deep breath and understand that as we get clear on this, we are dismantling homophobia.
Whatever the outcome, many feel that the process of resolving the situation will be just as important as the resolution itself. Solving a problem that has threatened to divide many on the Tufts campus, people have to be careful not to structure their arguments around an us-versus-them scenario, warned several of the speakers. Again, Howard Solomon.
Can we win the battle of making sure that this is an absolutely safe campus for everyone? We will have lost the war if we do that through a strategy of using us and them. If we use a strategy of pointing fingers at members of any organization on campus, the administration, the faculty. We must win the particular battle and win the war by showing that this is partially, in the long term, a dismantling of a rhetoric that sets people against each other. Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, and other brilliant political strategists and tacticians knew that the strategy and tactic that ultimately worked the strongest was the one that took the highest moral road, and that was called coalition building, which you're doing here, and this is really extraordinary. And secondly, making sure that at the end of the game, all voices were still being permitted to be heard.
For the Austin Brighton Edition, I'm Scott Gurian.
And this war has left me and our family, everyone, of not good enough, stronger than you can ever imagine. We are soldiers now, and we are never going to sit down.
Yeah!